Hey everybody, this is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good. Heidly ho, neighborinos.
Whoa! We haven't actually heard that yet in any of the episodes we watched, but...
That's true, we haven't had a Ned-focused episode yet.
Well, it'll take us about 6 years, we'll get to one.
So that's when it gets good, right?
Yeah, 6 years from now. Well, if we do one a week, we can do 52 in a year. We'll probably take Christmas off, so it's 51 in a year. Maybe not take Christmas off. We might do Christmas, double Christmas, do two episodes in Christmas.
That'd be a great idea, because then we could get through two seasons a year. So in about 3 years from now, we'll start getting to the good stuff.
Nah, I think we'll get the second season strong. I think the second season is they settle into their rhythm.
That's true.
But this week we are doing episode 702, Bart the Genius. Another one of the first few episodes that have Bart the Something in them. Written by John Vitti. He wrote 23 episodes. He's one of the more prolific Simpsons writers. Directed by David Silverman, who's a very prolific director. And this originally aired in January 14th of 1990. Second episode features their first appearance of the intro, even though it's not the same intro that we see today or you're used to. It's kind of strange.
Yeah, it's weird. It's got the Lisa on the bicycle, and Mr. Burns and Smithers aren't there yet, probably because they haven't really defined them until the next episode.
Yeah, and the people at the bus stop are just weird. Like, one looks like a adult homeless Bart.
Yeah, right. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, and so you don't get this. It's not exactly the same, but it's essentially there. It's like a little tour of the city before the actual episode. And you get to hear the music, which is, I think, the more important thing. And they have the first couch gag.
First couch gag and the first chalkboard gag.
And the first chalkboard gag as well, which I think that's... I'm trying to... Can you think of any other shows that did that with their opening credits, opening intro, that had a little unique thing every single time?
No, I mean, I can't even think of a single show whose credits changed, except for season-long changes of the intro. It never changed from episode to episode. It's the only show that's ever done that, as far as I know.
Yeah, and I mean, Futurama did. They had their own, but I don't count that because it's the same people.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not really that's not fair. It's Futurama is the Simpsons in the future. It's not really.
Yeah, it's practically the same people. It's like, all right, we did one of the Simpsons ones, move on to the Futurama one.
Yeah, Bart the Genius. This episode is a Bart-centric one. It features Bart. What is it? It starts off with them playing Scrabble, the family playing Scrabble, and this is one of the things that the Quijibo, which is a great gag, North American adult balding ape or something like that.
Yeah, and it's funny because Quijibo actually went on to become a computer virus and a deposit of fool's gold in Quebec.
Which is deposit of fool's gold in Quebec.
Right?
They called it Quijibo.
Apparently.
The legacy of the Simpsons is fool's gold. Yeah, and it's kind of playing on Bart being just this dumb kid.
Well, it's funny because his parents come off with these really stupid words like he and do. Lisa, who is already coming into her own as the smart character, comes out with id, which, of course, yes. Homer doesn't believe.
ID? No. No, Homer.
Along with the ego and the superego, one of three components of the psyche. And then Bart, of course, being the little smartass, decides, I'm just going to use all my letters to make something random.
And Homer has oxidize, but he can't recognize that that's an actual word. But it jumps, and this is, it's supposedly training for Bart's policeman exam the next day, which is really what sets off the plot of the story. He gets made fun of by Martin, and then he ends up stealing Martin's test and changing their names. So they think that he is Martin and Martin is him, which is, I think they would have caught on to that sooner.
Yeah, you think
because
so.
Because the smartest kid in class has completely random answers.
Well, you know, there are always people who are really bad at test taking. I mean, they should have known Martin wasn't one of those, but never know.
And so this makes them think that Bart is a genius. That the reason he's so bad in class and misbehaves is because he's bored. He's so smart that the pace of a normal classroom is just too slow.
That's true. Plus, this gives them the opportunity to get Bart out of the school, which apparently was a big focus of Principal Skinner in the first few seasons, is getting Bart out of his school, so he doesn't have to worry about him anymore.
So he goes, Bart goes to an advanced special school where there's no set curriculum necessarily. People, they just have discussion, and it's some fancy hippie school.
It's essentially the Simpsons version of a Montessori school, which apparently Matt Groening went to as a kid, where there's no tests or anything like that. You discover everything naturally. There's no, you know, structure, not nearly as much structure, so kids can learn what they want as much or as little.
Yeah, as much as or little as they want. And the teacher and the students quickly figure out that Bart is not smart. The lunchroom sequence, they trade all his food for very, very small amounts of their food, which, because Bart doesn't understand measuring systems, he pretty much gives his lunch away for nothing.
Doesn't understand how much things weigh on moons of Neptune and Jupiter, which, you know, frankly, who the hell knows that?
I don't know that either. Yeah, that kid is probably just obsessed with planets. I would assume that's his specialty.
I would hope so. Otherwise, that kid knows way too much about everything then.
Yeah, and it doesn't even, like, even just one day, and Bart is already wanting to tell the family. You know, he already wants to spill the beans and like, no, I'm dumb. I'm sorry. I can't take this. But okay. Homer is really proud of the fact that, you know, he's suddenly a smart kid. And it keeps Bart from telling him. They keep it a secret. And they end up going to the opera.
And it's funny, even Lisa doesn't really enjoy the opera very much, which is kind of funny.
No, that's, I think that's one of the little inconsistencies in this episode. So I think she would normally be a little, somewhat interested. But the first season especially, you get to see Marge, like, and this is kind of, it happens later on too, but not as much. Marge, like, wants to make the family, you know, culturally more rich. She wants to take them to the opera. She wants to make them smarter. She wants them to be a better family, be a smarter family. And they all, and she always wants to take them to church as well. And I think that's the kind of the same motif. They do not want to do any of those things.
Yeah, she's always trying to make them more cultural. She's the moral center of the family, and this is kind of where it starts out. But it's very obvious, you know, they're singing along, they're asking for opera dogs and things like that, that they just don't want to be there.
Yes, and yeah, you see basically all three besides from Marge insult everything there, make fun of the opera singers, the language, all the other people. I think they, at one point, Martin and Martin's family is there, and they are wondering why the Simpsons are there as well.
They're very obviously enjoying it because, you know, they're classy, cultured, smart people, of course.
Well, they're rich, of course. Rich people like opera. Of course they do. Don't they?
I don't know. I'm under the impression that no one really likes opera.
I mean, it's dramatic. It's big and dumb, and I mean, it's not really that. Most classic operas aren't that smart. They're just, you know, in other languages, so people assume that they're smart. But most of the plots are
pretty basic.
Pretty basic, yeah. They're not. I mean, it's all about the performance. It's not really the story that sells it. Bart goes back to school the next day, and he blows up the school, or almost blows up the school.
He makes asses and bases. Which, for anyone who actually knows about mixing acids and bases, that's not really what happens unless you have some extremely rare ingredients. More likely you just get a little poof and some salty water. But, you know.
He fills up for comic effect and makes it look like the whole school is filled up with green goo. There's a little bit where the little hamsters that they talk about, they have a brief moment of these hamsters are being tested on in the previous day. They escape, which I thought that was really clever.
Well, it's true. They couldn't mention that they were going to be dissected if they didn't later escape, because that would be too cruel.
Yes, of course. So Bart comes home green, and this is the moment he decides to spill the beans to Homer. Basically, Homer's trying to wash off all the green stuff, the science experiment. And it's a kind of a touching moment.
Well, it emphasizes that this entire time, Bart... It didn't start out as something he was trying to get attention from Homer, but that was the only real good side effect of him going to this other school is he got to spend more time with his dad. They played catch in the dark, and, you know, they went out for milkshakes together, and that's the only part that's really been an upside for Bart. But Homer doesn't really care. When he finds out the truth, he tries to strangle him.
He's immediately angry. That's kind of it ends with basically Bart locked in his room, and Homer trying to... like, knock down the door to get to him. But he's naked and green as well.
Which, it goes for the standard reset. Everything's all back to, all is right with the world. And
yeah.
Hopefully Bart's friends will accept him again after they called him Poindexter.
Yes, I know. That's it. That was kind of shows how much othering happens with smart kids in school, or at least perceived intelligence. They're not allowed to be smart because the friends are dumb.
Well, it's like what the way Bart saw Martin at the beginning of the episode. His friends never see him as, even though for him, it's not actually true. But that's just the way his friends see him. And it's so funny to see Milhouse call somebody a Poindexter after how Milhouse turns out in later seasons.
I think Homer calls Milhouse Poindexter at least multiple. I think multiple times.
When they're at the water for their summer vacation, you got the dud. he just looks like you, Poindexter.
Poindexter. Yeah. And there's the first episode, you don't really see a lot of tropey things of the Simpsons, like stylistically. This episode really, it features a great sequence in when Bart's taking that test of him, like, in a black and white on a train, trying to picture this math problem.
I really like that because I know it's how a lot of my friends have described seeing math problems. It's just the numbers just get all completely jumbled in your head. And apparently that's the same issue that one of the writers had. And he was just like, well, let's animate this and see how it looks. And it turned out really good.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And it's a dream sequence that The Simpsons kind of get more well known for. Where, you know, it allows them to stylistically depart from the look of the show without making it out of place. Yeah, it allows them to, like, be a weird black and white, crazy animated sequence and then jump back to just Bart in a classroom.
Yeah, because one of the goals that Matt Groening and the producers wanted to do was have a cartoon that looked realistic most of the time. It didn't go crazy, but this still allows a dream sequence like that still allows them to play with, you know, they use animation to their advantage so they can make crazy worlds and still have it fit in.
Yeah, exactly. I think Miss Krabappel shows up, I think, for the first time. So that's the first appearance of Miss Krabappel. This is another kind of Homer Bart episode, I would say. I mean, it's Bart centric, but it plays heavily into that the Homer Bart relationship, which you see a lot of in the first season especially, but obviously later on as well.
Yeah, those two are really, they really would probably be, I think, one of the central relationships of the entire series, especially the first early few seasons, is them trying to relate to each other because they're incredibly similar. And in later episodes when Homer, you see back in time when Homer was in high school or even some episodes when he was in elementary school, you see he was basically Bart back when he was a kid, so.
Yeah, exactly. And the gag about Homer's handwriting, with they show one of the notes that Bart has brought in to excuse himself when he's been absent, and Homer's writing a check, and the handwriting matches up.
They're obviously childish forgeries, so.
Yeah. Homer writes like a child. He has the handwriting of a child.
And the intelligence of one.
Yeah, it looks like he's barely literate. I mean, that writing is really, really bad. But they come back to that. They bring back that joke a couple times, I think, in later years.
Oh, yeah.
It's really funny. And I do want to, there's one thing that really stood out to me that when Bart ends up writing a confession to the psychologist, I guess he is.
Dr. J. Lauren Pryor.
Dr. Date. Wow, look at Matt. Matt has all the facts. I just hit up Matt. He has the name of the guy who's never appeared again in the show.
Well, he appears a little bit throughout the first season, and then he's never seen from again, and they bring in Superintendent Chalmers to act as Skinner's foil.
Yeah, it's true. And Chalmers is better.
Definitely.
Yeah, Chalmers is a guy who just yells at Skinner for no reason. That's really good. But when Bart is writing a confession, the performance by Nancy Cartwright is really, really good. It really captures kind of that. He starts writing this. First of all, it's supposed to be a mission statement, objective about this experiment, quote unquote, he's going to conduct. And then he realizes he can't even get through this. How is he going to be able to actually keep up this front? And he's not. So he turns it into a confession, and it really shows kind of the pain of Bart, just going, okay, I'm sorry. I can't do this. That's the first thing that, the voice acting really went, wow, that's really good.
It's true because her cadence and everything, how she says her words and how everything is spaced is exactly how you imagine it as a kid in your head when you're writing things. You're talking very slowly to yourself and, you know, you're trying to use big words, but you got to sound them out in your head. And it's exactly how a 10-year-old would write. And it's dead on.
And he misspells confession.
Well, of course.
I think that was, yeah, you misspelled confession.
Well, it's funny because it's one of the first places where you see Bart's moral fiber really start to show through. And I think later seasons, they kind of go away from that a little bit. But in the first few seasons, you see Bart as, you know, he's kind of this punk, but he does have a heart and a moral center further down.
Yeah, I think that you see it, like, I think they draw it's a fine line, but it is there about Bart. He's not a bad kid. He misbehaves and he does things. He does pranks and things, but because he thinks they're fun and not because of like it hurt. He probably thinks in the end it's harmless. They're harmless pranks. There's multiple episodes. I can think of a few off the top of my head where he accidentally does cross that line where he does something genuinely bad or illegal even. And generally he feels bad for them and he tries to make up for it. And I think this is the first case of that.
Yep. Later in the season, you have the telltale head where he chops the head off Jebediah Springfield, and the whole episode is a giant confession. So this is just the beginning, and they'll develop his character more along that same vein.
Yeah. I cannot abide that school because they insult Radioactive Man.
Exactly.
That's not cool at all.
Comic books are not a form of illiteracy. Comic books get more people to read, dang it.
Exactly. That stupid teacher. Good thing she never appears again.
Well, they had Marsha Wallace around since her voice is literally a slightly higher pitched Mrs. Krabappel, whose soul has not been destroyed.
That's true. That's very true. Anything else you want to touch on?
Nope. I think we hit the main things. It's just the start of every trope that the series has. I would just like to say a shout out to my boy Martin Prince, who is basically me as a kid. So, you know, I identify with him a little too much.
To be fair, I was much more Martin Prince than I ever was Bart Simpson.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was the kid who was reading books under trees while the other kids toiled and hated me.
That's true. I never turned anybody in for their misdeeds, though. You know?
No, snitches get stitches, Matt.
Exactly.
Snitches get stitches. Code of the Schoolyard, which we'll get to in a later episode.
Yeah.
But with that, I think it's time for our segment that will end every show. It's time for Best Episode Ever.
Matt
and I go through these episodes, we'll be ranking them categorically, definitively. We'll probably have to compromise from time to time, but I think we'll get it done. This is the second episode. I don't know about you, Matt. I think this is better than that first episode.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah. The first one's a holiday episode. It doesn't have all of the same structure as all the later episodes. So this sets them into a pattern, and it definitely has more character development than the first episode. So it's definitely number one so far.
Yeah, it does more stylistically. It's more clever. You see more of the typical Simpsons kind of dialogue as well. So with that, I think this is an easy one. As we'll get, when our list grows to 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 episodes, we might have to nitpick around a little bit more. Which is it this better than this one? Is it better than that one? I don't know. But for now, Bart the Genius is the best episode ever. For now. So, folks, if you want to reach us, we are at thesimpsonsshow.com. We're on iTunes. Search for The Simpsons Show. You'll find us. I fiddled around with it. Now we're there. We're actually, if you search for just The Simpsons, we're in the top 25 podcasts, even though half of them have nothing to do with The Simpsons. I think they mentioned them in an episode, so that apparently iTunes puts you on the radar if you do that. We're on Twitter. We're at Simpsons Show Pod. You tweet at us there. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. Like us there. You'll see, get us in your feed. We're on Tumblr, SimpsonsShowPod.tumblr.com. I'll put us on Stitcher soon. Stitcher's upload, then their approval process takes like 3 years. But eventually we'll be on there. Thoughts, suggestions, ideas for segments. We like to hear all that. Episode 3 is next. What's episode 3? What's the title of episode 3, Matt?
Homer's Odyssey.
Homer's Odyssey. You can get me on Twitter at Mixmaster Cereal. That's MIXMASTERCEREAL. And Matt does not pay attention to any social media. So you can just tweet at me and I'll get the message to him. I'll let him know that someone wanted to talk to him. But until then, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.